You are listening to the Uncanceled Podcast. We believe that Jesus came to set you free and nothing can cancel the truth of God's word. Now here's your host, the youth pastor of Impact Youth at Faith Church in New Milford, Connecticut, Pastor Joey Santora.
Here we go. What is going on?
There
Uncanceled.
It is.
That's gotta How are you guys
be the
doing? Thank
That's
you
gotta
so
be the
much
record.
For tuning in.
Wow.
Oh man.
That was great. That was
really I don't know good. Why that I have really the good. I don't know why I have the lung capacity for that, to be honest with you.
Why not? You got healthy lungs.
Oh, that's true. I guess I always think like singers, like they have like great like lung capacity or whatever. Yeah. Maybe it's because I talk a lot, like
could
preaching
be.
And stuff.
No, certainly could be. That was great.
Praise God.
I think that
I'm
was
so happy to be here.
I feel like that was at least 16 seconds.
We're going to find out when we're editing or when you're editing.
Yeah.
All right. Well, it's time, bro.
Let's do it.
It's time to rate that
Arizona. All right. A little bit of suspense there. I didn't know exactly which one I was going to grab because I got three. Should we show them?
Do you know what I did?
You didn't move them at all. Oh, sneaky. We got three. Couldn't decide on which one to do.
Dude, that was a bad rate, that Arizona.
Well, it's because I was fumbling.
Let's do it again. Ready?
Okay.
Three, two, one.
Rate that Arizona. There you go.
Better. All right.
So I got three because I couldn't decide. Grabbed a random one. And we're going today with the stock Arizona iced tea.
Here.
Straight up lemon flavor. I mean, this one's great. This one, if I just had to think about them from my, you know, history, this would probably be my number two.
I remember it this week.
Oh, good. I'm glad. That's good. So maybe one of these two will be next week.
Here we go. Ah. Welcome to Arizona.
Good job. Good remembrance.
It took me a second because I had to get the...
You were thinking about it the whole time I was talking.
Thinking about what?
What the saying was.
No. It took me a second to be able to get the Arizona like open. It was like... Yep. Like, you know how sometimes like cans, like sometimes it's a little more down, I guess, per se? Yeah, so let's go ahead and give this a try today.
Let's do that.
Sniff.
Yeah, I'm fond of this one as well.
You can smell the lemon. Oh wow! I mean, if this one isn't good, like really, like it's of course it's going to be good. This is their guy.
Yeah.
This is their Jalen Brunson.
Absolutely.
This is their. Oh, I was going to say Jason Tatum, but.
I don't know.
Oh, that's a conversation from wire to wire.
I think Jalen Brown's going to win finals MVP.
Yeah.
And I think he should. Anyway, yeah, Jalen Brunson. You just got to love him.
Yeah, I mean, what's there not to like here?
It's great. It's like a good tea. Like, it's just like a stock sweet tea, but like it's good.
It's good, man. Nothing to complain about here, but I'll tell you what.
Oh, yeah.
It is the company's Jalen Brunson. But it's more like a Jason Tatum type of drink. Here's why. This is where I'm seeing it. It's really good. You really enjoy it. You love it. But at the same time, it lacks the wow. It lacks a wow factor.
I mean, it does, but like you
it's
know,
simple.
But you know what you're getting.
No, you do. It's simple. It's consistent. You know, it's good. Maybe a good example would be like, maybe Jalen Brown would be a better example because he's consistent. Jalen Brown is consistent every single game. Has the consistency of Jalen Brown, but maybe lacks the wow factor of it.
Maybe
like
it's
Jason
like Josh
Tatum.
Hart.
Sure. It's like Josh Hart.
I love that guy.
And you love it. You love it. You're so good. If you're just feeling like getting something you know is going to hit and it's consistent, you're going to get this one. But if you're going to want something that's going to wow your taste buds like you never have before, then like you're probably not going to get this flavor.
Yeah, no, that's very fair.
Yeah.
You know what would be interesting?
What?
I'm just thinking because, like, we have this one here. We're not going to do it right now. Unless you want to do it right now. But how much, so they have.
How much different?
They have the Arnold Palmer, right?
Yes.
How much different would it taste, the Arnold Palmer that's already mixed,
yep,
versus if we mix
all
these
right, we're
two.
Doing it. That's it.
But next week?
We do it right now if you want.
We could do it right now, but we don't have the regular Arnold Palmer
to
compare
it
to.
We don't know what Arnold Palmer tastes like, right?
But here's
why.
You got
to try the lemonade separately, though, first, and rate both of them.
All right, I need to go get a couple more cups.
No, just down this.
And okay.
Just,
here's why. I'll say it later. I do love that.
Really good.
When I, you know, when it's I great. Used to get. Oh, sorry. I kind of did your thing. Kind of too late.
Welcome to Arizona.
Again. When I used to get two per shift at Walgreens, well documented. I would get one of these and one of the raspberry.
What, you mean
ones.
When you drank like a big fraction of your daily calories?
Yes, I do mean that.
Dude, you had 120 grams of sugar. How is your heart not dead?
Built different.
Do we want to rate that Arizona real quick?
Sure.
Go ahead. You can pour. I mean, go ahead. And then we can say it. I have a rating for mine. I feel really good about it today.
Oh, you want to rate this one?
Yeah, just because. Yeah.
No, I'm there. I'm ready.
All right. We'll do it in 3, 2, 1.
Okay.
3, 2, 1. 8.5. I knew yours is going to be a little higher. Mm. I gave it an 8.5 for the reasons I said. Maybe lack style wow factor. You know what you're getting. It's really good. I mean, it's classic. I could definitely see it being a 9. I thought about giving it a 9. I think it was a good idea, a good thought. But I'm sticking 8.5.
Fair. I love it. I think it's great. I gave the raspberry one a 10. It's my favorite. This one is maybe my second favorite, so it could be a 9.5. But there are probably ones that you just enjoy a little bit more because they're a little bit different.
Dude, all right. Get a sniff. Kind of smells like pee.
Think so? I think it just smells like lemonade.
Oh.
I think it's gonna be just a stock lemonade.
Not really.
Is it a little on the tartar side to you?
I kind of think it's not really that good, to be honest with you.
I don't think it's bad.
I've had
I just think
so
that
many better lemons.
Despite the 63 grams of sugar that are in it, it's not incredibly sweet.
No, I don't like it.
All right.
Wouldn't drink the whole thing.
Should we do a mixer-oony?
Sure, but why don't we give this a rating real quick? I wouldn't drink the whole thing, so mine's automatically going to be under a 5.
You wouldn't drink the whole thing?
Nope, wouldn't even drink half the can. Mm. Wouldn't want to drink half the can. I would probably do it just because I had it, if I bought it or whatever.
I'm rating.
But I got it too. 3, 2, 1, 6. 4. Yeah, I'm under, man.
We're on opposite sides of mid.
I think it's below average. I've had a lot of
fine.
Better lemonades. Yeah.
Try to do equal parts.
Yeah, I like that. Cool. All right, let's give it a shot. You kind of lose the flavor of them both when you mix them together. You get.
I think
that?
You lose the flavor of the lemonade.
I'm not getting any of the lemon tea really either. Or not much
actually,
of it.
I think I taste it. I think I taste them both.
One thing we didn't consider is that Arnold Palmer is not
lemon tea.
It's just regular like tea.
Do you get a lot of lemon though when you're drinking this?
Yeah.
Okay.
I get the undertones.
The other thing that would be different about from this as opposed to the Arizona Arnold Palmer is because the Arizona Arnold Palmer is a light version. So it's half real sugar, half fake sugar.
I prefer the Arnold Palmer, personally,
yeah.
If I were going to be comparing the two.
This isn't bad.
It's okay. I wouldn't drink a whole thing of this either. I really don't like the lemonade. I really don't think it's good.
I don't think it's that bad. So, I don't think it's great, but okay. Well,
Well, guys,
you kind of got three rate that's in one.
Yeah, three in one, you know.
That's cool.
Today, Ben is going to be joining me for the next part of this.
I think I'll hop in every once in a while.
Oh, you're not going to like. You're just
going to
come
back there.
From the back?
You're just yeah.
All right. Ben's going to come
every
from
once
the back.
In a while.
But anyway, thanks so much for tuning in to Rate That Arizona. Let's go to Real Reaction.
Do it.
What is going on, Uncancelled? How are you guys doing? I know I already did that before, but just in case you skipped past Rate That Arizona. But welcome to the Uncancelled podcast. And right now we are doing a new, what will be eventually a regular segment here on the Uncancelled podcast here at Impact Youth, Real Reaction. This is where me and some friends or my wife react to some different reels, because something that I've noticed is that a lot of younger Christians and even older ones, they have allowed TikTok or Instagram reels to dictate their theology or thoughts about God. And whenever like anyone makes a reel and they make any like remote sense or logic or have a train of thought, it's just like, oh, whatever they say is true. Yeah. Like I believe it. And that's not how we should be as Christians. We need to be Bible based. And so what I basically do is every week, obviously I'm a normal human being. I watch Instagram reels. And I don't go on TikTok. I don't know why, but I do watch Instagram reels. And I will basically save a bunch of Instagram reels. And then on Thursday, when we record the podcast, I go and I look at like the top five from the week that I watched, or five that I think might be interesting to react to. And I send them to Ben. Some of them are just funny because I just want to laugh at them with you guys. And some of them I'm actually going to teach something from God's word with it. But we're going to have some fun. Today's ones are pretty funny, but, let's go ahead and start out with video number one. We got five today.
Do you want it to actually be video number one that you sent me?
Yeah, yeah.
Okay.
I am going to spend the next minute screaming, because that is what is going on in here. That is what the trans genocide in this country, in this city, has brought me to.
Pause it. Play it.
Imagine that.
Pause it. Imagine what? Imagine what? No, I got it for you. Imagine a grown adult screaming in the middle of the public council for a minute straight. What? She's just screaming. I've seen too many of these videos of adult women. Why is it? It's usually women. It's usually women that they go to the council. I think. That's a girl, right?
Well, you're kind of assuming, but yeah.
Uh-oh.
Yeah.
You think so?
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, it's a woman. So it's usually, and I'm not trying, I really wasn't trying to be funny by saying that. I was actually genuinely trying to figure it out.
I would hope a man couldn't scream like that.
Yeah, I guess that's true. I don't think that a man would be able to scream that effeminately. Sad? Yes. Funny? Yes. It is both. I laughed at that when I saw, because I'm just like, what is that accomplishing? You're just screaming for no reason.
Like, what is that doing for you? What is that doing for anybody?
And then they get mad when people don't like them. Like that community. It's like you have members of your community that just go and scream at town councils for no reason. But The reality is it's sad, but it's also quite funny. But I actually do have something to bring up with this. I wasn't gonna at first. I was just gonna be like, yeah, that's like crazy. Like, I don't know what the deal is. But screaming at people never produces anything. And unfortunately, sometimes even Christians can be guilty of this, where they go to like town squares, just like this community has members that go to town councils, and they just scream things. Now, in their case, they literally just scream, like actually just scream. There's nothing being said. But in Christian circles, it's go to a town square and scream that you're all going to hell. Screaming doesn't accomplish anything. In fact, as Christians, the way it ought to be is we should do what Paul did in Acts chapter 17, verse 2. The Bible says that Paul went to the synagogues and he reasoned with them through the scriptures. We should reason with people. We should talk to people and explain the scriptures to them rather than just scream things at people. I've seen people that are Christians that are might be well-meaning, and they go and they stand on the side of the street and they just start screaming at people different things. And people get mad at them, throw stuff at them. The minute you start screaming at someone, you turn off, you turn people off from you. That is not the way to win people to Christ as Christians. And that's not just the way as people and the way that God has designed us to be able to have a conversation. When you scream and get loud, it shuts off people's ability to be able to have a conversation with you and immediately puts them in some type of defense mode, whether that defense mode is them shutting down and they don't want to listen to you anymore, or just screaming back at you. So screaming doesn't accomplish anything, and certainly just screaming literally without saying anything at all does not accomplish anything either. I have a funny feeling though, Ben, that even if she did try to say something in her screaming, it still probably would not make much sense.
Probably not. You probably lose just about all your credibility after you do something like that. So
probably. Well, that's video number one. Let's go to video number two.
If my husband wants to marry four wives just so he can have more sex, I'm fine with that. In fact, I encourage it. That's way...
Okay, you're just not. Like, like, and I'm okay with that. For some reason, I kind of don't think that you are. Just a suspicion. I don't know, but man, I'm not a woman. I guess that I don't know for sure, but you know, whatever. Continue.
Better than him just randomly going off, having no commitment to any other lady, sleeping with random ladies. Allah created a path for him within the deen to fulfill his desire. And if he's able to do it well, which he is, then who are you or me to stand in his way? Absolutely not. I encourage it. And I will continue to search for him. If he wants a third, a fourth, as many as Allah has allowed, I will be that person. I'll be the first person. Because you know why? Because I love my husband. And you know what it means to love your husband? It's to want for him the akhirah, a good and healthy akhirah. And I want him to be in heaven. So I'm not going to stand in his way and prevent him from doing the halal thing because of some ego or some societal pressure of like monogamy. No, Allah has allowed it. I support it. And that's it. And if you love your husband, you'll do the same for him. You won't pigeonhole him into committing zina or cheating on you or lying to you and doing it anyways. You'll support him and you'll get over yourself, because that's true love. It's sacrificing and supporting the spouse and giving them what they need because you love them and you want them.
All right, I've had enough. No. What? I don't even know where to begin. I'd rather him doing that than just going around being with anyone to be in committed relationships. Time out. You're not in a committed relationship because you're having many relationships. Those two kind of contradict each other. But second, the reason why I played this video is because I've been seeing a lot of videos on Islam, a lot. And that's just one of the many examples of the crazy things that I've seen in Islam. There was a whole video about stepping in dog poop as it pertained to the Islam religion, and how like something like, and I could be getting this wrong, but like something like you get like 10,000 bad deeds if you step in dog poop and don't say a special prayer. And I'm like, what in the world is going on here? Now, I know what somebody might be thinking right now. What does this have to do with the Bible? What does this have to do with Christianity? Why are you even addressing this? Well, I'm addressing it because there's been a big push for Islam. But here's the thing that a lot of people don't know about Islam. Islam, their holy book is called the Quran. The Quran actually affirms the Bible and the teachings of Christ. There is multiple texts in the Quran. Surah 3:6, I believe, is one of them, that they affirm basically that the Torah specifically, that's the first five books of the Bible, is truth from God, and that Jesus, when he came, he brought the gospel or the good news with him, and that his teachings are the gospel. And so if that's the case, that they affirm the teachings of Jesus and they affirm the teachings of the Torah and other writings of the scripture as well, the question therein lies, then how come if they believe that the Bible is true, then if they believe the Bible is true, then if they in their book, the Quran, have something written opposite, that's a clear contradiction. Either the Quran is true or the Bible is true. And if the Quran is true, then the Bible has to be true. Because the Quran says that the Bible, that the Torah and the teachings of Jesus are true. And so if the Quran says that that is true, and the Quran is true, then the Bible must also be true. So you really can't even be someone who practices Islam if you don't believe the Bible. So now let's go to the Bible. What does the Bible have to say about this idea that men should have many wives? I know what some people might be thinking. Well, in the Old Testament, we see multiple people in the Bible having many wives. True. But you know what you never see? You never see God affirming the relationship. You never see God ever blessing the idea of somebody having more than one spouse. In fact, you see the opposite. Whenever someone had multiple wives, there were problems. Solomon almost completely departed from the Lord because he was pulled away from the Lord by his many wives that he had. It pulled him away from God. In the beginning, in Genesis, God created one man and one woman, and he created them to be with each other. If you want to know what God's original will and design is, you always look to the very beginning. The beginning is that God made one man and God made one woman. This is affirmed in Jesus. They asked Jesus about marriage, and he said, what was it like in the beginning? When God in Genesis talks about marriage, he says, a man will leave his father and mother, and the two will come together and be joined to one flesh. And so we see a model of marriage in the Bible very clearly of one man, one woman, and anything outside of that is not of the Bible. And so that being said, if the Quran is true, again, the Bible has to be true. And that's what the Bible says. If you are a Muslim that believes that the Bible is the word of God, or if somebody is a Muslim and believes that the Quran is of God, then they must also believe the Bible is the word of God. The problem is you have a contradiction there because the two books clearly contradict each other. Also, what happened to self-control? My goodness. She's like, you know, I don't want to prevent him from going to whatever their heaven was called in that. And it's like, how about some self-control? Because the Bible clearly teaches that as well, of having self-control. But anyway, I know that there are two completely different religions, but I just wanted to point out an issue between those two things, as I've seen many people have a lot of questions about Islam before. So that was just something to touch on that. But next, let's go to video number three. Happy June.
I'd be gay and be a Christian.
Being gay is a sin, and Jesus died for our sins. Therefore, Jesus died for the gays. And if you are not being gay, then he died for nothing, and you are bringing shame to his name. Amen. God bless the gays.
I'd be gay and...
She started out well. She started so well. Ben, what do you got?
Romans 6.
Oh, come on. Go ahead. Say it. That's what I had written down.
I mean, you have it. I don't have it pulled up, but.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Romans 6 would be a pretty quick response, but she started out well. She started out well. Jesus died for gay people. Yes, because Jesus died for the world. Yes, Jesus died for the sins of the world. He died for absolutely everybody. But then to go on to say, and so if you don't sin and be gay, then you are shaming the cross of Jesus Christ.
She said, then Jesus died for nothing.
Yeah, it's like, time out. Let's go to Romans chapter 6 and let's see if that's true. Also, I love the scripture that she used for that. There was some good scripture there. Being sarcastic, of course. Romans 6, verse 1. Well then, should we keep on sinning so that God can show us more and more of his wonderful grace? Of course not. Question answered. Like, done.
What would, like, it just makes literally no sense. Why would the Bible give us all, like, the instruction that it gives us on how to live and what it calls sin if it didn't matter if we kept it or not?
Yeah. I mean, it's pretty simple. It's not a Christian teaching that you can go on and sin so that God's grace can be shown, or, you know, so that Jesus died for something. Jesus already died for something. He died for all of our sins that we inherited from Adam. We were born in sin. The Bible's very clear of that. We've all sinned, the Bible said, and fall short of God's glorious standard. That's the truth. So Jesus already died for something. He died for the sins of the world so that we could be made right with him. And so by giving our life to him, we're actually giving his giving that cross, or going to that cross for forgiveness. So, but let's answer the second question. So, the first question would be: is that true? Right, that I should sin or I should be gay so that Jesus died for something? Well, no. We already read Romans 6, 1 through 2. But secondly, can you be gay and be a Christian? That is a really good question to ask. The answer to that question is this: no, you cannot be gay and be a Christian in action. You cannot be gay in action and be a Christian. Or you cannot be someone living a homosexual lifestyle and be a Christian. Go to 1 John chapter 3. I'm going to read you this. Go to 1 John chapter 3. You cannot be, I want you to hear what I'm saying. You cannot be a gay Christian in the sense that you are living a practicing lifestyle and openly identifying yourself as such. You cannot be a gay Christian. Well, I'll get into that in a second. Let's read 1 John 3:4. Everyone who sins is breaking God's law, for all sin is contrary to the law of God. And you know that Jesus came to take away our sins, and there is no sin in him. Anyone who continues to live in him will not sin. Well, there contradicts that first part that the woman said once again. But anyone who keeps on sinning does not know him or understand who he is. Dear children, don't let anyone deceive you about this. When people do what is right, it shows that they are righteous, even as Christ is righteous. But when people keep on sinning, it shows that they belong to the devil, who has been sinning since the beginning. But the Son of God came to destroy the works of the devil. Those who have been born into God's family do not make a practice of sinning because God's life is in them. So they can't keep on sinning because they are children of God. The reality is that nobody can live in any sin at all and be a Christian. I explained this last night to my youth group, and I explain this fairly regularly because I feel like every time I explain it, someone new goes, oh, and they actually get it. Here is what living in sin is. Living in sin is when I make a habit of doing something over and over again without any repentance. What is repentance? Repentance is the turning away, or it is to turn your back on. That is what repentance is. It is to say, I was going in this direction, but now I'm going in that direction. Repentance is a 180 decision where you say, I do not want to do that thing anymore. That is what repentance is. So if I lie, for example, all the time, and I never repent for it, and I just keep lying and lying and lying and lying, I am now making a practice of sinning. And the Bible is clear that if I make a practice of sinning, then I'm not a child of God. And, or if I'm living a lifestyle of sin, I'm not a child of God. Now, if I tell a lie and I go to God and I ask him for forgiveness, he's going to forgive me. If I tell a lie, that doesn't automatically make me not saved anymore. If I do any type of sin, it doesn't mean that I'm no longer saved anymore after I do that sin. But if I continue to live that lifestyle over and over again, a lifestyle of sin again without repentance, then I will eventually get to a point in my walk with Christ where I have completely walked away from my faith in God. Why? Because I'm going to continually be pushing away the conviction of the Holy Spirit that Hebrews 12 talks about, where Hebrews 12 says that children of God, that the Lord chastens those that he loves. And if we don't feel that discipline in our spirits when we do wrong, when we don't feel that conviction in us, the Bible says we are illegitimate children. And so what will happen is I will keep pushing away and pushing away and pushing away the Holy Spirit as I feel convicted that I'm doing that thing that is wrong. And as I keep pushing away, there will come a point where I grieve the Spirit of God, as the Bible says. And the Spirit of God is, now I've completely pushed the Spirit of God out of my life and I've walked away from my salvation. And the Bible does say that it is possible to walk away from your salvation. It says that in the last days, many will turn away from the faith. It is possible to walk away from your salvation. That is what will happen if somebody lives a lifestyle of sin. Ben, do you want to chime in with something? No? No? Okay, I wasn't sure. But a lifestyle of sin, again, is sinning over and over again without repentance. That is a lifestyle of sin. So, first off, as a Christian, I should not identify as anything other than a follower of Christ. There's no need even as a Christian to say, I am a Italian Christian. Like, okay, why does that come in front of your Christianity? There shouldn't be something, and certainly there should not be a sin that comes in front of your title as a follower of Christ, because that just shows your priorities. I'm a lying Christian. No, that's not the way that works. I'm a porn watching Christian. It's like, wait, time out. Well, I'm a murdering Christian. You wouldn't say any of those things because they're all sin. Every single one of them is sin. And I think that sometimes people act like homosexuality is like it's like this special sin or whatever. It's very wrong. It's sin. It's sexual immorality, certainly, but it's sin at the end of the day. And all of it is not of God. And so if someone were to live in a homosexual lifestyle where they are actively engaging in homosexuality day in and day out without any type of repentance at all, they will come to a point where they will completely walk away from their salvation. They will. Now, God is so good in that if we repent, even if we do those things that are not of God, and repentance is like a real thing. It's not like I'm sorry. That's not repentance. Growing up when I was in high school, and if I dealt with different, as I dealt with just lust and stuff like that and dealing with that, I used to be under the impression that if I just said sorry afterwards, that it was all good. That is not repentance. Repentance is saying, God, I was doing this thing and I don't want to do it anymore in my life ever. I will say, I find it very hard to believe that somebody, and again, this is between them and the Lord. I'm not going to say one way or the other. I'm just saying a statement that I would have a hard time believing. Somebody says that they have repented from living in homosexuality or repented from lying, and they repent, and then 2 seconds later, they go back and do the thing that they just did. Because when you really repent, something changes on the inside of you. Where you were doing one thing and now you're going in a completely opposite direction. You're saying, I don't want to ever do that again. That is real repentance. God, I never want to do that thing again. I will tell you this, it doesn't happen overnight where someone walks away from their salvation. It's not an overnight process where somebody makes a decision one day where they sin and they sin against God, they lie, and now all of a sudden they're no longer a Christian. It is a process. It is a slow fade where somebody walks away from the Lord. And God is gracious and all that stuff, but there does come a point where somebody can walk away from their salvation. And so, no, you cannot be a gay Christian. Can you be a Christian that struggles or has struggled with homosexual feelings. Yes. The same way that somebody might struggle with pornography or struggle with something else. But here's the good news of God is that one moment in the presence of God, and you can have a radical encounter with God where you never deal with that thing ever again. I full-heartedly believe that. I don't believe that somebody has to struggle with homosexual feelings for the rest of their life. I don't believe that. I don't believe that somebody has to have a pornography addiction for the rest of their life. I don't believe that somebody needs to, have a lust issue for the rest of their life. I don't believe that. Now, somebody might be tempted in a certain area, but they don't have to struggle with it in the sense that they keep falling into it. They can have complete victory over that. I believe that. So if you're watching this and you're somebody that you've struggled with homosexual feelings before and you're wondering, am I still a Christian? The reality is that if you are not living in a lifestyle of sin and you are not practicing those things, that you can still be a Christian. Obviously, if you repent of your sin, follow Jesus Christ, do what needs to be done for salvation, which is believe upon Christ, then you, yes, can be a Christian and be dealing with those feelings, but you cannot be living a lifestyle of that and practicing homosexuality and be a Christian the same way that you can't be living a lifestyle of any other sin. So that's that answers that real. Let's move on to the next one. This is kind of just like crazy, this next one.
Yeah.
Hi, my name's Jasper. I use they pronouns.
Hi, my name is Liana. I use they demon pronouns.
Stop.
Bruh.
Did I ask? Nobody like what? I saw one really funny. I saw this funny thing with this guy. I almost played it, but it had some language that I'm not for, like foul language. I don't believe that that's a good thing for a character of a Christian or anything like that, as I believe that the Bible speaks against it. But it was basically like my pronouns are not preferred; they are demanded. And the guy responds to it, and he's like, he sings a whole like rap in response to it. It's like to the beat of If You're Happy and You Know It. And he responds to it, and he's like, I didn't ask or whatever. And he's like, respect is not demanded; it's earned. Like all that type of stuff. He like shredded it up, but. Yeah, anyway, that's not really the point of anything that I was going to have to say. But I just think it's funny that people go on social media and tell the world their pronouns. It's like, I'm not even having a one-on-one conversation with you at this point. So why are you even saying anything about it? Anyway, go ahead.
Video is how to use our pronouns. So Liana uses they, them pronouns and demon pronouns. So the
Wait,
first
stop.
Sentence
one second. We all took English class and were perfectly aware of constructing a sentence with pronouns in it. But so like it's just funny that they use the example of like what is we're all like able to do it. But the reality is we all did take English in high school and middle school. And we know that plural pronouns are not used for a singular person. And I'll be honest with you, and I want to be clear. God very much so loves the people that are in this video right now. I don't believe that. I don't preach like that God hates people and stuff. God very much loves these people. And they're under a deception in their mind that they call themselves they and stuff like that. It's like you and what spirit when you talk about they. But then she goes on to say demon as one of her pronouns. What a deception of the devil that we have gone so far with this thing that people are now going by demon in their pronouns. The devil is being so clear and obvious. This is understand that these people, there is a spirit at work behind them. God very much so loves the people because he created them. But see, what's happening is there is a spirit that has manipulated the minds of these people to say these things, to make these types of comments and all that type of stuff. They're deceived in their mind. The Bible says that there's a veil that's over the eyes of people that do not know God. And so they're blinded to all of this nonsense. The Bible actually says that Satan has blinded the minds of the people in this world. He's blinded them. 2 Corinthians 4:4. It talks about how Satan has blinded the minds of people. And so these people are blind. And the reality is they don't know who they are in God. That's the truth. They don't know who they are in God. And all it would maybe take is if somebody would go and tell these people, hey, there's a God that loves you and there's a God that created you. And he created you for a purpose. God didn't make a mistake and misgender you at birth. That's not what happened. God made them, Genesis 1, God made them male and female. Male and female, he created them. I love that that's in the Bible. It's almost like God knew this was going to happen. Male and female, he created them. He didn't create another gender. And by the way, in response to a popular video that's going around by a certain minister, it actually really doesn't matter if you wish that you were with God when he was creating things so you could throw a couple other genders in. Because the last time I checked, we are creations of God. And God is the one who knows all things. God is the one that decides how things are going to be done. And if God decided for it to be that way, that there are male and female, who am I to step in and even question that and say anything to that and say that I would have suggested something else? Because I am a creation of God. I am not God. I'm happy God created things the way that he did. I have no other statement to say other than thank God that he created it the way that he created it, because he knew what he was doing when he created it. So no, if I was there with God in the beginning, which I wasn't, and I'm a creation of God, so I wouldn't have been, I would not have stepped in and said anything, because I'm a human being and I'm not going to tell God how to do things. So God created them male and female. And it's sad to see people throwing all these different pronouns. And it's like right in our face at this point where it's like demon. That's the pronoun that people are going to use. My pronouns are they, demon, or whatever it was. And it's like, demon went to the store yesterday. Seriously? Like, that's just crazy. And what has actually been interesting is the devil has really overplayed his hand with this one. Because there are gay people who are not transgender, who are not going to this extreme, that are actually starting to not like the people in their very own community. They're starting to get upset with all the craziness that's coming in, because what is actually happening right now is that certain community, and again, I'm trying not to say that community. I've said a couple of the other trigger words, but I haven't said the big one, and I'm going to refrain from saying it. But that community, they are actually advocating in some areas for pedophilia to come into play as something that is, Ben, what is it called?
Minor attracted people.
Minor attracted people. What? Yes. What in the world is wrong with people? Minor attracted people? I'm sorry. No, absolutely not. And that is what the devil is doing. The devil right now, because there's a spirit behind all this stuff. The devil is trying to bring all that garbage into the world. And it's just terrible. But there is an agenda behind that community. And it's funny, as like gay people are starting to be like, wait, what? I don't know if I want to be associated with this. And I pray to God that those people that are starting to see how crazy that it is, that their eyes are beginning to be opened and that they'll turn to Christ and that they'll say, wait, this is what I'm a part of. Time out. I don't want to be a part of this. And then somebody preaches them the gospel. See, more people need to go after the spirit that is behind something rather than the people and individuals. We need to be people that love others and that actually be like Christ and love your enemies. The Bible doesn't just say love your brother and sister. It says love even your enemies. And enemy would be a strong term that I would use for somebody in that community. If they are actively opposing Christianity, then yes, they would be an enemy. And I guess if somebody has friendship with the world, then they're an enemy of God. That is what the Bible says. But the Bible says to love your enemies. That we actually need to show love to people that perhaps we don't agree with, that we don't see eye to eye with, and we love them by telling them the truth and pointing them to Jesus Christ. We love them not by screaming at them, but telling them the truth in love. We don't tell them, hey, it's okay that you're living this lifestyle. We say, no, it's not, but here's the good news of God. And so that's that for the demon pronouns video. I can't even believe that somebody would identify with those pronouns. It's just crazy. Ben, didn't you say you had something funny to step in and say?
Yeah, I mean, it really is like, it really is just incredibly sad. But like, you can even tell if we were to watch the rest of that video, when she's, because she goes on to explain how to use the pronouns, and you can tell as she's like going through it, like going through a sentence, that she has to think so hard about it. She has to think so hard about how to say it correctly, because it's just, it makes no sense.
You're right.
And it's just so far from the truth.
Yeah. It's like she really had to think about it to be able to get it in. So it's just crazy. I do understand it because I was going to say I don't understand it, but I do understand it, because the reality is that without Christ, we would all be in places that are not good, whether it be doing something like that or whether it be at some bar, you know, messed up somewhere. It's only by the grace of God that we're even able to you know, do these things. But it's just crazy that people could fall into that deception. And I think when we say that we don't understand, what we're saying as Christians and saying as people is like, this is just so crazy. Like, we've never, like, I don't know if we've ever seen something this crazy.
Yeah. And also, there's just such a better option on the table for
right.
you. Like this is the thing too, is that all of these people, and there are statistics to back this up, all of these people who are confused and just don't know who they are, they think that this is what's going to bring them satisfaction and fulfillment right. in life. And then they end up going through with it, but then being worse off on the other side. There's just such a better option in the Bible and in God's love and in finding out who you are in Christ than going this way.
Yeah. And you know, I'll say this. I actually think that Christians do themselves a disservice, and I should say ourselves, because I'm a Christian too, and not a deconstructing Christian.
Amen.
I'm a Christian. And Christians do Christianity a disservice when they post attacking things during June, during this month, if you get what I'm saying. They, like, yes, as Christians, we know it's wrong. It's, yes, we do. We get it. Like, if someone is really a Christian, they know that that's wrong. Why go and post something that is going to alienate people that disagree and like make them angry and like try to like fight with them about it? The Bible says the servant of the Lord is not quarrelsome. I'm not looking for a fight with people. It doesn't help for me to post a little thing on Instagram that posts about how God, you know, God destroys, you know, those types of people. It's like, that is true, but you're not presenting the truth in love, because you're only pointing them to destruction and you're not telling them the good news of Christ. If you say that, yes, it is true that God opposes and God destroys that type of behavior, and you could say that because that's true, you also need to point them the truth of the gospel, which is, while it is true that God destroyed those people, there is also the good news of the gospel that if you turn to Christ, he'll forgive you and restore you and help you. There has to be good news. We cannot just be bad news. There is no good news without bad news. The gospel needs bad news, because the bad news tells us what? The good news. The bad news is that we're all going to die and go to hell without Christ. But the good news, the gospel, is that we can be free in God and that we can have eternal life through Christ Jesus. So in order to get to the good news, we need to present the bad news. I get that. I understand it. But if you're just presenting the bad news, you're not presenting the gospel.
And also the bad news in such like an attacking, hateful way, like you're saying. Like we just go and like you said earlier, scream at you
right.
and just tell you that you're the worst and that you're going to hell. Like, that's not helping anybody.
Like, thanks.
Yeah.
And it's, and the God, 'cause the gospel, again, it is good news. Yeah. It is good news. Let's play this last one, 'cause I actually have to get going. I got a phone call I got to make. If you're wondering, by the way, Ben's in the back.
What are you doing to this boy, huh?
He's an evangelist. He's broken. He cries to the Lord. He tries to do what's right. He's stuck in, but he still prays to Jesus.
That's why you're
Pause.
Coming out of him.
You try to stop him.
Why is pornography a swear word?
Yeah. I thought the same thing when I watched it first.
Okay. Next. Continue going. Go ahead.
Tried to kill him before coming to you.
Oh, yeah? You tried to kill him before he got here?
What did you do? We asked for him. We asked for him at the throne. We keep saying, Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. He committed fornication. Let's kill him. He was at a deliverance ministry. He left.
He was in a deliverance ministry and he left?
They wounded him.
Stand up. Stand up. Stand up. The Lord is going to have mercy on him. He will not suffer with lust. Come out. All the way. All the way.
All right, that's good. All right, this one I'm going to make fun of. Here's the thing. I don't make fun of people that and call out and attack people that are not Christians, that are far from God, because I want them to come to Christ, and I understand that they're blinded by the enemy. But people that are Christians, people that are Christians, that they are Christians and they're practicing these foolish things. Just like Jesus with the Pharisees, he attacked the religious spirit, the religious system of the day. He came after the Pharisees. And what I mean by came after is he opposed them. He said, you brood of vipers. He came after that type of stuff. And so there is a religious spirit in the world. And this is a part of it right here. Why is this a part of it? Do you not believe in casting out demons, Pastor Joey? Of course I do. I believe in casting out demons. But you know what I also don't believe in? I don't believe in convincing everyone they have a demon. And that's what these type of ministries do. They convince everyone they have a demon, even if you're a Christian. The Bible's very clear. What harmony can Christ have with the devil? If you have the Spirit of God in you, your house cannot be divided, because the Bible says a house divided against itself cannot stand. And so you cannot have a house divided on the inside of you where the Spirit of God lives in you and a demonic spirit is possessing you. How does that make sense? How does that make sense? You're saying that the Spirit of God is not strong enough on the inside of you to be able to drive that thing out? Well, they opened a door to it. Well, there is demonic oppression, things that are messing up your mind and all that stuff. There's heavinesses and stuff like that. But there's not spirits that are on the inside of you controlling you as a Christian. Secondly, I'm pretty confident. And I try to be careful with being dogmatic. But I'm going to be dogmatic here. That's not a demon. That is somebody that is in emotional turmoil. And that's what that is. How do you know that, Pastor Joey? Anytime in the Gospels, and you can go look, when a demon speaks, it's a shrieking voice. It is a voice that is not just the person talking. It's the person, it is the demon literally speaking. Secondly, like, I just don't understand what the point is in having a 20-minute conversation with a demon. You're just sitting there, tell me what was the point of entry. Who cares? It doesn't matter. A demon is a demon. And I have the power in Christ to cast that demon out. If a demon manifests in my servant, I cast out very quickly. I also don't go looking for demons, because Jesus didn't go looking for demons. Fact. Demons would manifest around him and he'd drive that demon out. People would come up to him, help me, my son is possessed by a demon. He'd drive it out. Jesus wasn't like a demon buster. Like, he wasn't like Ghostbusters. That's not how Jesus operated. Deliverance ministry, if it's done properly and within the confines of the Bible, it's fine. You're driving demons out, real demons, not just people that are in their fields that are psychotic and need help, but people that are actually possessed, great, but really and truly, when you hear the term deliverance ministry, it's usually this type of garbage, where they convince everyone they have a demon that entered them when they were a child against their will. Sometimes, you know, the demon entered me through the spirit of witchcraft when I was 1 year old, and, you know, and it's been with me ever since, and all that stuff. I came to Christ, and, you know, this thing's just been very strong, and I haven't been able to get it out of me. What in the world is that? Show me in the Bible where this happens. Show me in the Bible where this happens, where somebody who has the Spirit of Christ has a difficulty drive, somebody who has the Spirit of Christ is overwhelmed by a demon. A demon comes and possesses a child of God. Show me that in the scripture, a demon possessing a child of God. Possessing, literally taking over. Possessing is literally you control the person. You won't find it in the Bible. It's not of God. So, yeah, that's it for that. But thanks for tuning in to Real Reactions. Real Reaction, we had 5 videos this week. We'll have 5 more next week. I got to get Evangelist Wesley out here with me when he comes to visit in a couple weeks for Heat Wave Conference. Heat Wave Conference coming up. Don't miss it. June 26th through 28th. I'm going to give you an opportunity, if you'd like to give to Heat Wave Conference. You can give by going to faithchurch.cc/give. Give to Impact Youth in the dropdown. You can also write a check, make it payable to Faith Ministries, and write in the note, write Heat Wave a Conference, for Heat Wave Conference. You can go ahead and give if you'd like to. All of the money that comes in will go towards Heat Wave Conference. Don't give if you don't want to. Just want to give an opportunity to be able to do so. And more importantly, come to Heat Wave Conference. Come out. Don't miss it. It's going to be great. But thanks for tuning in to the Uncanceled Podcast. Hope to see you next week. God bless.
Thank you for listening to the Uncanceled Podcast. We hope you were blessed and encouraged by the teaching today. If you are between the grades of 5th through 12th grade, make sure to check us out in person at Faith Church in New Milford, Connecticut, every Wednesday night from 6:30 to 9 p.m. Be sure to tune in next week for another weekly podcast from Uncanceled. God bless.